The world's microchip shortage is a macro size problem, snarling supply chains for phones, for dishwashers, and of course for cars. Toyota is now planning to cut its production by 40%. Any relief in sight here? Let's put the question to Asa Fitch in San Francisco, covering the industry for the Wall Street Journal. Hi, Asa.
Hi.
All right, so how bad is this semiconductor shortage in the world? We've been hearing and hearing about this throughout the pandemic.
I mean, it's pretty bad. It's widely expected to stretch into perhaps 2023, although the industry is getting a handle on things as we go into the latter part of this year and next year. But it's not good, and many industries are suffering because of it. They're not able to sell things that they want to, and consumers are suffering because of it. They can't buy the things they want to.
Yeah. No, we have a stove on order, and who knows, it could be October to January, right? Yeah, I mean, don't know when it's going to come in, and that's really part of this. We have this Delta variant in the world, including in these key Asian supplier countries. Is that making this picture worse?
It is, yeah. You know, there have been some lockdowns in Malaysia and some other countries where chips are assembled. The silicon that a chip is based on is generally not made in those countries, but key parts of the manufacturing process happen in some areas where there have been big outbreaks of coronavirus, and that certainly hasn't helped alleviate a shortage that was already hurting people pretty badly.
And you, of course, need every step along the chain before you kind of get to the product in the end. Now, this is a strategic industry for a lot of countries, including ours, that don't necessarily want to depend on Asian suppliers. You know, what is the U.S., what is Washington doing to, quote, bring the manufacturing home?
Yeah, so chip manufacturing, of course, is sort of born in the U.S. I mean, Silicon Valley is in the U.S., and that's kind of how it started.
Yeah.
But it shifted toward Asia in the past three decades or so, and these days only about 12% of chips are made in the U.S., but Congress is trying to change that. There's a lot of bipartisan agreement that the U.S. should make more chips, and so in June, the Senate passed some legislation that would allocate $52 billion to building up the domestic industry. That includes some major grants for new chip plants and R&D. So a lot of political will is behind the idea that there should be more in the U.S.
But the industry needs that money to actually flow to start building these fabs, yeah?
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, you know, some companies like Intel, which is the largest U.S. chip maker by revenue, they're building. I mean, they're building out their fabs anyway. But many companies are waiting for the money to be there in order to get started with their manufacturing growth plans. That a lot of that is contingent on this legislation becoming law.
Now, you mentioned Intel. Last month, I understand the head of Intel met with officials at the White House. What does Intel want here? What's in its self-interest?
Well, Intel, under its new CEO, Pat Gelsinger, wants to rededicate itself to manufacturing and grow its manufacturing footprint. And so, you know, Intel senses a sort of a meeting of interest between its own desire to grow its manufacturing and the U.S.'s desire to incentivize the growth of domestic manufacturing. And so Pat Gelsinger has been meeting with officials in the U.S. and also other countries and, you know, suggesting that there should be some, you know, incentives or some help, basically, to make the economics make sense for Intel.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Intel's been having a bit of a rough stretch. Is that right? Kind of losing market share to Samsung, NVIDIA, other companies in this space?
Yeah, Intel has had a rough stretch technologically. I mean, they've kind of lost their technological edge to companies like Samsung and like Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, which is a major player in Taiwan. You know, that company's trying to get some of its mojo back, so to speak, and growing manufacturing and reinvesting in its technology. That's sort of what the company hopes is the key to regaining that kind of advantage.
Yeah. Okay. And finally, you mentioned Taiwan and its chip maker TSMC. Should this be a reminder to those of us who maybe don't think about Taiwan very often that actually in the semiconductor space, it's an indispensable company in an indispensable country?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Taiwan is really at the epicenter of the chip industry these days. TSMC is one of the most advanced, or probably the most advanced company when it comes to making chips, and it's based in Taiwan. You know, we all know the geopolitical issues there in Taiwan vis-a-vis China. Mm-hmm. You know, Taiwan's also a place where there are many earthquakes. So it's kind of a fragile, in multiple senses, part of the world. And there's a lot of concern that, you know, if the most advanced chips are only made in Taiwan, that could be a problem mm-hmm. for the world.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Asa Fitch, he writes about the semiconductor industry for the Wall Street Journal. Asa, great to have you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.